Please join me in our prayer for illumination.
Living God, help us so to hear your holy word, that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
For this morning's scripture lesson, I'll be dusting off the book of Habakkuk, excerpt from chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. It'll be found on the screen above. I'm sorry, there's no number in the Bible page. The oracle that Habakkuk, the prophet, received. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that the justice is perverted. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people, who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They are feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so the herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith. His glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. Through the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines. Though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. For the director of music on my stringed instruments,
excuse me one second, I have to get my trusty bag. Uh-oh. Are you okay? I don't know, let's check it out. Okay, are you okay, sweetie? Oh yeah, running. Are you gonna stay? You won't get to see what's in my bag. All right, this is a very nice bag, and inside I have, wait till you see, you are not gonna believe what's inside my bag. Have you ever had company coming to your house? Yeah, people come over your house? Well, you're little, so you don't know what, like, company means, so, like, well, no, I shouldn't have said it that way. Wait, but I have to tell you, there's more than, I have to tell you, there's degrees of company. Like, when your next door neighbor comes over that you know, that's one kind of company. But when people who never come to your house and they've never seen your house before, that's a different kind of company. And in my bag, it's full of things that I do to get ready for company. So I have my trusty owl towel. Well, when the company just from across the street comes, you pull out the Clorox wipes and you just clean the bathroom real quick. You quick do the dishes in the sink. But you can, well, I'm afraid to let you hold it, dear. Let me put this here. There's a lot of chemicals in there. You don't want to get hurt. And then there's your fancy company that, like, you got to pull out the peroxide cleaner and soak the tile. Well, honey, you don't know where it is, but I know where it is. And the fantastic, oh my goodness. And then when all else fails, you pull out the Febreze and throw everything in the closet. So there are many different ways. See, your mom must know the trick to a little Febreze and chuck it in the closet.
And I love Febreze.
All right, so what's the point? All right, so let's not squirt the Febreze, because with the Febreze in the candle, we'll start a fire. So listen to this, Henry, listen. Guess what is coming at the end of the month? Christmas. And who are we waiting for? Okay, yes we are. I'm waiting for Santa too. Who else comes on Christmas besides Santa? Jesus, good. Yeah, besides him. Yeah, that's it. Let's not rush the years away. When you get old, you just want to encourage one year at a time. So here's my point. Let's quick get to the point so you can go. We have to get ready for Jesus. And Jesus doesn't want us to clean our tile with peroxide. He doesn't care if you have to pull out the bleach for things that you haven't cleaned in a really long time. How can we tell people and get ready for people for when Jesus comes again? What can you do, Holland, tomorrow? What can you do tomorrow to get help other people know Jesus? What can you do when you go to school tomorrow? What if you see your friend crying at her desk? Say it again. What are you going to do?
Hug.
You can give a crying friend a hug because Jesus is love. You can do that. What can you do tomorrow to share Jesus' love? Can you think of something?
When I get back from school, I could tell people to put up that huge ball.
You certainly could. You could get them ready for New Year's. Everybody needs the ball ready for New Year's. Emily, don't worry, I won't put you on the spot. So let's just wrap it up. Henry, come on over here. Let's have a prayer before you start playing the drums. Fold your hands. Let's have a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we are entering a season of Advent when we know that we prepare for your birth at the end of the month, but not only that, you're coming again. Give us strength to prepare ourselves and others by sharing your love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
It is so good to be back here. As Henry said, we are family, and I love it every time I get the chance to come and worship together. So thank you, first of all, for that, and congratulations on Caroline Joy, because not only is she a new member of the Jacobson family, but she is your new family member as well, and how exciting is that? I know that I can't wait to meet her, so I can't even imagine how you all are feeling, right? And I'm so thankful that Mama and Baby are both doing really well. Congratulations, family, back there. I also want to give a hat tip this morning. Today's sermon, a lot of the ideas were provided by Reverend Nathan Busker from over at Ponds. So I wanted to thank him for sharing his thoughts with me and let you know that a lot of what is said today comes out of his brain. So let's move on. So in the United States here, we hold dear the principle of freedom of speech, right? For as much as we might not like what other people say sometimes, we do believe that they have the right to say or write or televise what they are expressing. Libraries are treasure troves of ideas waiting for patrons to expose them and read them and just enjoy them. And we value this right because we know the power of words and ideas. There are some who want to ban certain types of books and materials because they know the power of words and ideas. And they know that when released, what those words can do. And while we really have not had to experience this in the United States, at least in many, many, many years, there are still governments today that ban the Christian Bible. And it is a real thing. One of my college students from many years ago, one of my college buddies, she was from China, And she shared with me that her family did have their Bibles taken from them because the government knew what powerful words the Bible contained. And so while we might react with some level of shock, you know, it's like, how could they do that? How could anybody do that? The government knew what it was doing. It was a smart move for them. Because the Chinese government understands the threat the Bible poses to those in power and in principalities. And it's within the Bible that we found our text today. It's in a small book written by a relatively unknown author, a minor prophet named Habakkuk. And Habakkuk in the past has been deemed a dangerous book. There was a German theological professor, Ulrich Bael, and in 1940 he wrote that a church newspaper in Switzerland published a column that included an excerpt from the book Habakkuk. The Nazi military censors, they banned that newspaper because they viewed this text that we read this morning, they viewed that as a critique of the Nazi regime at the time. Habakkuk is dangerous. And it's dangerous because unlike other prophets who have God confronting people in their wrongdoing, wondering why the people have turned away from God, Habakkuk turns it around. Habakkuk confronts God. He doesn't tiptoe around. He brings the fight right to God's doorstep. And in turn, he hears the words that are the catalyst for change. Some of them again are, how long, O Lord, until there is change? And why? Why is there violence? Why is there destruction? Why is there strife? Why is there wrongdoing all around? But the Lord says that there's a vision or a revelation for the appointed time. And he says, if it appears to tarry, wait for it, for it will surely come. And Habakkuk's final ending to that is, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Thanks be to God for Habakkuk saying what maybe some of us have wanted to say for a long time to God, but haven't. Because, you know, it doesn't feel right. It feels wrong to confront God and say, how long do I have to cry out, Lord, before you listen? How many times do I have to yell help before you come to the rescue? Why do you force me to look at evil and to have to stare trouble in the face day after day after day? Anarchy and violence, they break out. Quarrels and fight happen all over the place. Law and order fall to pieces. And sometimes it feels like justice is a joke. And although we may not have had those exact words in our minds, I'd wager that most of us here have had some similar feelings towards God at some point, asking why. How many times do we have to cry out over a medical diagnosis or financial troubles, loss of jobs, loss of relationships, loss of dreams? And why does it seem like every time that we celebrate a step forward, humanity seems to take three steps back? Every time there's a new cure discovered, new diseases wreak havoc. Habakkuk reflects an exceedingly traumatic time in Israel's history. So for Israel, at this point, the nation of Israel has been split into two. We have the northern kingdom, still called Israel. We have the southern kingdom, called Judah. And not long before this text was written, the mighty Assyrian army destroyed one city after another, brutally killing people, destroying the northern kingdom of Israel. But it didn't stop there. Then the Babylonians came in under King Nebuchadnezzar, and he attacked Jerusalem three times. He took the leaders and the skilled citizens into exile. And then in 587 BCE, before Common Era, before Christ, he destroyed the city and the temple, and he eliminated that southern kingdom of Judah, thus ending the nation of Israel. And what does God say in response? Wait. It's not easy, and frankly, most of us aren't good at waiting. I certainly am not a very patient waiter. And most of us want relief now. I don't want to wait till tomorrow or next week. I want relief now. But in our impatient society, we do what the Judeans did after they returned from that exile generations later. They rebuilt the walls of the city. They say, let's rebuild what we had as though we will reclaim that former glory because we want it to be the same as it used to be. And they literally took the stones that were at one time the walls of Jerusalem and they were laying on the ground and they picked them up one by one and rebuilt the wall. They put those very stones back into place. And we often keep doing those same things, but we expect different results. And I've heard it tell that when we do the same thing over and over again and expect different results, that's kind of the definition of crazy. But God says, if you wait, there is a divine vision. And this is a vision that will become your reality. But you need to wait. You need to have faith in God and trust in God's timing. And the Judeans, the Israelites, they couldn't wait. They rebuilt those walls as though that was the answer. But 600 years later, after they rebuilt that wall, God's vision took on flesh in Jesus Christ. And that is God's answer. It's not the walls of our bodies that need to be rebuilt. It's the hearts. Because the violence, the pain, the hurt, the destruction suffered by humanity and creation at the hands of humanity, it finds its source in the sinfulness of our hearts. And until we let Jesus Christ be the answer, we will continue to live in despair. And with the lighting of our candle, we recognize today is the beginning of Advent, the beginning of our church year. If you don't know it, Advent refers to a time of waiting and anticipation. And I find it very interesting. Our church year, it doesn't begin with Christmas, with the birth of Jesus. It starts right here, today, with this dangerous idea of God's vision for the future, rather than the actual fulfillment of it. Because that vision, it is ultimately a vision of resurrection. We know that. We have the story. We have read it. We've talked about it. We've shared about it. And it has to be somewhere in Habakkuk's thinking. How does one improve or better a situation that is strewn with utter violence, death, and destruction? Where do you start? You start with God's vision. Just this past week, it was reported that in 2017, the suicide rate was the highest it's been in 50 years. And it is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. And that's important to us as a people. We will attack that. Politicians will pass legislation, someone will start a campaign to reduce the suicide rates, and all of these will be admirable and will garner a great deal of support. But unless things are different, they will be similar to past efforts. each treatment, each approach, it will be like the previous one. It'll be like rebuilding walls. Because you see, the world today, as it was with Habakkuk then, it doesn't need more Band-Aids. It needs total transformation. And that's the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's a snapshot of what total transformation is. It's the beginning of God's vision of a new heaven and a new earth. And the good news is, it's clearly, it's not the end. But we are asked to do the hardest thing of all right now. And that's to wait. But this is a waiting that's full of action. Because we are called to live out that greatest commandment, to love God and to love others. And how we do that is by caring for those who are in need. For the widows, the orphans, the poor, the lonely. We get our hands messy. We get them dirty in a world that so desperately needs to be loved. And that is our actionable wait. So we do the hard stuff. In the midst of all of our whys, we wait in action and in faith, in trust, and in hope for Christ to return. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your word to us today. Thank you that you never stop pushing us, that you're always teaching us, and this time that you are telling us to wait. Take these words, Lord, blow through them with our hearts and our minds, change our lives, give us transformation, that we might go out and transform this world. In your name, amen. Would you stand if you're able and join with me in your response to the word and in the affirmation of faith of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.